This morning I'm reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Paul writes, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I talked about this passage a couple weeks ago to Native Alaskan pastors while we were in Nome, particularly about verse 7 that I'm focusing on, that Jesus emptied himself when he became one of us, when he became human. Later, the pastor of the church in Nome, our covenant church in Nome, not a native himself, told me he had heard a story of how Inupiat Eskimos sometimes give away their possessions before going hunting or fishing. He said they had a word for this, pronounced uchuksi, and it seems to mean something like emptying in order to be able to receive the bounty of the hunt. Verse 5 of our text tells us to have a mind, an attitude like Jesus had when he emptied himself to become one of us. Today, in the midst of Palm Sunday celebration, I'd like to invite us to follow Jesus and to follow that Native Alaskan example in getting ready to receive God's blessing by first being emptied. Verse 8 begins with another phrase that gives us a clue to what this is all about. He humbled himself. On Palm Sunday, Jesus did not ride a horse or sit in a chariot like the heroes of the Roman world. He rode into Jerusalem on a little beast, more often used for carrying loads than for riding. They hailed Jesus as king, but riding a donkey is anything but kingly. Unless you hold your feet up, they will drag on the ground. The animal bumps along at its own pace, and from experience, I can tell you that donkeys stink. Matthew quotes Zechariah, "Look, your king is coming to you, humble, and riding on a donkey." The Palm Sunday parade of a king on a donkey was a living demonstration of the true nature of our Savior, which Paul is celebrating here in Philippians 2. In Jesus Christ, God humbled himself. He became a human being. He died. He even died like a criminal on a cross. Verse 6 makes clear that Jesus was originally and from the beginning God. My New Revised Standard Translation reads, "though he was in the form of God." But that word for form doesn't mean that it was simply an appearance that he was God, merely that Jesus looked like God. It's the word in Greek philosophy that denotes what is, other translations make it, the very nature, the essence of a thing. Jesus' very essence is to be God. That's what he is. That's who he is. The humility, then, of Jesus, the humility of God, is his attitude of mind. Verse 5 says, you and I are supposed to have that same mind. We'll get to that later. For now, look at the end of verse 6 to hear about Jesus' attitude. He did not regard equality with God something to be exploited. When we human beings have power, we want to use it, to exploit it. If it's just points on a credit card, if I've got points on my credit card that have earn me an upgraded room in a hotel or a better seat on the plane, I'm going to take it. But Jesus did not think that way. Jesus could have gotten himself a better seat for that entry into Jerusalem, but he chose to ride a donkey. Coming into this world in the first place, Jesus could have gotten better accommodations, but he chose a stable in Bethlehem. Jesus had the power to enter our world in much better form than merely human, but he didn't use it. He took the form of a slave and became obedient, says Paul. Now, theologians and philosophers debate what it means to say Jesus emptied himself. Recently, I've been attracted to a view with ancient roots, but that grew stronger in the 19th century, that Jesus did not just sort of hold back his divine power and prerogatives when he became human, but that he actually laid them down, set them aside. By his own choice, the all-powerful Son of God let his power go. By his own choice, the all-knowing second person of the Trinity limited himself to merely human knowledge. The Greek word for emptying is kenosis. So the theology I've just described is called the kenotic theory of the incarnation. It's the view that Jesus did not just refrain from using his power as God, but that by his own voluntary decision, he did not have some of those powers while he was on earth. Now, I'm not sure if that theory is right or not. There are problems with it, just like there are with all the other theories about how Jesus can be both God and human. The important thing is to hold on to both sides of that. As verse 7 goes on to say, Jesus took the form of a servant. It's the same word form as in the previous verse. The one who is by very nature God became by very nature a servant, a human being. This is the greatest truth about Jesus, his two natures in one person. As we say in the Nicene Creed, he is true God from true God, but we also say in that creed that for our sake he became truly human, both God and human. That's what we believe about Jesus. But it wasn't not enough just to become human. It wasn't enough for the creator of the human race to be born as one of us. It wasn't enough for God to stoop down from heaven to walk on earth. He also humbled himself. He did not exploit his glory and his power. He humbled himself. Even on Palm Sunday, when the crowd would have gladly crowned him and make him their ruler, he humbled himself. Instead of being a king, he was a servant. Now, in human history, we've had the occasional ruler or leader who temporarily comes down from on high. I can't think of one in America right now. But King Abdullah II of Jordan is known for disguising himself so that he can walk among the people of Jordan as one of them. In 2001, he dressed in tattered clothing and wore a wig, disguising himself as an old man, so he could feel what it was like to go to the public tax office. Several years ago, he donned another disguise to enter a hospital where one of his subjects had been mistreated. And then in 2013, a video went viral of Abdullah helping push a car out of the freak snow that fell there in the Middle East. And then just one more on the internet. You can find an old newspaper clipping about King Gustav of Sweden in 1909 dressed as a stevedore, a dock worker, and spent a day hauling sacks of coal on the docks so that he could understand the plight of working men in his country. The humbling of Jesus went deeper than these other kings. Verse 8 continues, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus chose not to command, but to obey. He made himself obedient to everything that God the Father asked, and that included dying. Dying not just a peaceful, ordinary human death, but a violent, horrible criminal's death, abhorred by everyone. Both Jews and Greeks of Paul's time found it difficult to accept that the Lord of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, the God who stands outside and beyond all time, would stoop down not just to listen to ordinary people or to lend a hand, but to be whipped and nailed to a cross. For Romans, crucifixion was so vile that it was only done to foreigners. No Roman citizen could be crucified. For Jews, it was a sign of being cursed, based on Deuteronomy 21:23. Anyone who hangs on a tree is under God's curse. For Jesus, who was by very nature God, it was the ultimate form of his humility. As we come then to Good Friday at the end of this week, consider this carefully. Go outside if we get a clear night and look up at the stars and think, the one who made all that, the one who existed before any of those countless suns and galaxies came to be, the one who flung them all out there with that simple command, let there be light. He's the one who rode that donkey. He's the one who hung on that cross. He's the one who gave up more than I can ever know to save me. You and I are saved by the empty humility of Jesus Christ. It's only because he emptied himself and was humble that you and I enjoy the forgiveness God gave us in the cross. It's only because Jesus was willing to serve us, in spite of the fact that we so often fail to serve him, that we are forgiven. We are blessed for this one reason. We have a humble Savior. Think about that today. Let us especially think how our text began. Let that same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Paul's whole point in sharing this beautiful hymn about Jesus was to address a church where folks had difficulty getting along with each other, trouble showing love to each other. Paul's answer was to point them to Jesus and his self-emptying love. Palm Sunday does tempt us to look ahead. We wave palms like we did and see in our mind's eye Jesus riding into the holy city as men, women, and children sing his praises. It's been called the triumphal entry. But it tempts us to skip ahead then to that final triumph, to Easter, when Christ is risen, raised into glory, and praised by everyone. But our text reminds us how Jesus got there by emptying himself, by the cross. That's the only way for you and me as well. To get where Jesus is, we need to be emptied. We need the cross. Some of you showed a bit of that yesterday. You mucked out storm drains or cleaned gutters, dirty jobs. You washed windows here or cleaned a refrigerator, humble tasks. You do it other ways. Helping someone move, taking a turn to clean the toilets, taking off work to show up at someone's funeral, listening to someone that's hurting, spending an evening or a night here for the Egan Warming Center or the family shelter, letting someone else have her way in an argument, giving someone a loan and not worrying about whether you'll get paid back. When you do those things, you are emptying yourself and following Jesus to the cross. The good news we will celebrate this week is that though we cannot skip the cross, Jesus' way does not end there. The way of our humble Savior leads to the cross, but it also leads through it and beyond, to Easter, and, as I told the children, to glory. And that's why where our text goes in verse 9, to glory. Therefore, notice that it's a therefore. It's not an and or just a but or whatever. It's a therefore, which means that because Jesus humbled himself, God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. By being emptied and taking the lowest place, Jesus came to the highest place of all. And in a smaller way, that's to be true for you and me as well. Jesus Christ put your interests before his own. He had status, the greatest status there is, equality with God. He did not consider it something to grasp, something to exploit. He emptied all of that out of himself to take on our humanity. He had privileges, the privilege of being master, the master of the universe. He emptied himself of his privileges and took up the burden of obedience. He went from the highest position to the lowest. And if Bill Gates got up tomorrow and started scrubbing toilets at Microsoft, it would not compare. If President Trump got up and started sweeping the streets of Washington, D.C., it would not be as humble. If Angela Merkel served in a soup kitchen in Germany, it still would not be as deep a submission as Christ Jesus emptying himself. He emptied himself for us. The gospel shows us that he was not only God's servant, but he became our servant. He served you and me by humbling himself even to the point of accepting mockery and an unjust execution. It was all in your interest. He thought humbly for your sake, looking out for you instead of himself. And so it's no wonder that the very most Christian thing that you and I can do is to think like Jesus did when he became our servant on the cross. He put your interest ahead of his, and he asks you now to put the interest of others ahead of your own. I hope and pray our country's not getting into another war in the Middle East. But if we do, I pray that God will give us leaders like General Omar Bradley in World War II. Now, if you've seen the film Patton, you know that Bradley is a secondary character in that film. The star is George C. Scott playing George S. Patton, who Patton was the most colorful general of that war. Patton was an eccentric, dictatorial genius. He wore high boots, packed ivory-handled revolvers, and at one point, as I recall, though, the film flashes between Patton in his fine uniform with his swagger stick under his arm and General Bradley dressed in fatigues leading his men up a hill. Bradley wasn't sitting behind the lines directing things. He was in the trenches with his men. Common soldiers loved him. He dressed like they did. He ate their food. He marched with them. He was their friend. I don't know about you, but I like Bradley better than Patton. Jesus Christ is the complete fulfillment of what we see in Omar Bradley and in those kings and leaders who come down from their thrones and out of their secure facilities to be with their people. Jesus is the God who is also one of us. He chose to be on the battlefield with us. He chose to be hungry and tired and tempted. He got angry and he got sad. He knows what it's like to pray and not get what you pray for. He knows what it's like to spend a night in tears. The mystery of Jesus is that he willingly accepted all of that so that he could be with you. He gave up for a while the perfect friendship of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that he could be your friend. A general like Bradley is one I'd want to follow. A king like Abdullah is one I could respect. And God did not give us a proud and arrogant Savior. God did not give us a Lord filled with his own importance and glory. No, God gave us Jesus, who while remaining thoroughly God, emptied himself so that he could be thoroughly human. I want to bow before a Lord like Christ Jesus. As Paul asks us, I want to be like Christ Jesus. Our text concludes that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Even then, there's a humility there because Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of his Father. Every knee will bend before Jesus because he is the King who was willing to bend his knees around a donkey. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord because he let his tongue be dry and thirsty as he hung there on that cross, dying. Harvey, that covenant pastor in Nome, said that he had recently been reflecting on the fact that every knee will bow and every tongue confess willingly. We sometimes have the idea that every believer is going to bow and confess someday voluntarily, but that God's going to force everyone else to do it. But our self-emptying Lord is so wonderful, so beautiful, that all creation is going to want to worship Him once they see Him clearly. Just like those who surrounded Jesus on Palm Sunday, let you and I join that circle of praise early. Let us bow our heads and confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord. In a moment, we're going to sing Charles Wesley's great hymn, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Savior's Blood?" Wesley, too, was amazed at the love which caused Jesus to humble himself, to die for me, for him, for our whole sinful and helpless race. And the second verse of that hymn is really what this sermon is all about. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. Those native Alaskans let go of possessions before they go out to hunt or fish, expecting to come home with sleds filled with game and nets filled with fish. May you and I let go of the things we have, let go of our own glory, so that we can carry home the great gift of our Savior's love. So during this most important week in the Christian calendar, that's the mystery that we remember and celebrate. Jesus, the Son of God, emptied himself to save us by taking our humanity and then raising it up with him into glory. By giving up glory, Christ our Lord became even more glorious. He invites us to follow the same path, that same plan, to empty ourselves so that he can fill us with his love, with his own humble glory. Amen.